again, my friends. This is your host, Kim, and you are listening to another edition of How to Get Away with Law, an unofficial podcast on the hit ABC TV show How to Get Away with Murder. And we are going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 3, which is called, it's called The Octopus. Interesting. And of course, without further ado, let us get into the recap. This week, the recap is courtesy of Phoebe Robinson, and you can find this review at www.vulture.com. Now here we go. Let me just start by typing this. Michaela has never had an orgasm. Michaela has never, 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 never had an orgasm. I know this show is called How to Get Away with Murder, but it needs to be renamed Michaela, Let Me Tell You Something About Me, which is then followed by a spin-off series called Michaela, Let Me Tell You Something About Yourself. If you're in a relationship with a dude and refuses to go down on you, then you need to treat him like I do the weekly living social newsletters I got and unsubscribe from that mess. Michaela, let me tell you something about men. If after a guy finishes, he stops, drops, and rolls onto the side like he's doing a fire safety drill for Smokey the Bear and takes his behind asleep instead of making sure you got off as well, Control-Alt-Delete him from your life. Michaela, let me tell you something about yourself. You saying you never had an orgasm implies that you've never even given yourself one. That means no vibrators or going old school, analog AM radio, aka your fingers. Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth did not struggle their whole damn lives just so you can walk the planet Earth in 2015 and be sexually frustrated with pent-up emo rage like you're in the band Dashboard Confessional. Get it together, please. Whew. Sorry, I just had to get that off my chest. Women cannot and should not be living the O-free life. Anyway, it turns out Michaela being O-free is not the only jaw-dropping thing that happened, and it's called The Octopus, so let's get into it. We open the same flash forward from last week. The interns are running into the woods like it's a real-world road rolls challenge, except instead trying to win $100,000, they're running so they don't end up in prison, getting sexed on by inmates. This is where Kim is going to edit. Maybe Michaela wants to be sexed by an inmate so she can have that bow. Anyway, back to the recap. Next, we see Nate driving, calling Annalise, but because she's on the ground suffering from gunshot wound, she can't pick it up. Real talk. If she even says what up to the afterlife for like 5 seconds before returning back to the world, I'll straight up cry. She must stay all the way alive, if for no other reason than Eve. Speaking of Eve, she and Annalise are emailed. It's super cute, which makes me hopeful that this relationship has legs. But let's table that for the moment, because Annalise is busy drinking and speaking in her tape recorder about the Blasian duo's case. Anna gets so drunk that she passes out until she's startled awake. She investigates the basement, and it's a mouse. So she calls Wes to come over and take care of it. Y'all, if that doesn't sound like the start of a porno, then feel free to slap me silly. For real, though. What teachers are calling their students to come over to their house late at night to kill a mouse in their basement? That is only some mess you do when you've got either, you've either got the D, so you have that kind of relationship, or you want the D, and this is your damsel in distress way of getting it. Either way, these two either need to bone or stop with all this creepy behavior once and for all. My heart really can't take it anymore. Meanwhile, Michaela is at the crib making out with Levi, who might be Eggs 911. I'm scared because he could be dangerous, but he's also hot. So my vagine is cheering her on like loved ones do American Ninja Warrior contestants. Then she's like, I really want you, but it's only the third date, so you have to go. Michaela, what in the natural hell? You just got out of a relationship with a gay man. Move a little and dust the damn cobwebs off your crotch. Sigh. Women in their 20s are dumb. Anyway, Levi leaves, and I'm pretty much sending him Morse code to come over to my apartment. So, how are the other couples in How to Get Away with Murder doing? Well, Culliver, I guess this is what the writer has named Connor and Oliver. Anyway, back to the game. Are a day away from finally being able to have sex again, which is so cute. Bonnie and Asher are going strong. Floral, oh god, Floral. Geez, maybe I should have checked this blog a little harder. Floral, Frank and Laurel, is continuing to flirt, but Laurel keeps acting like she doesn't want him, when it's like, girl, we all know you have several midterm exam blue books filled with info on Frank, so just own up so you guys can date properly. she does not. Again, women in their 20s stay acting goofy. Next, we check in on the case of the week. A woman named Tanya throws sex parties for a living, and a guy named Dominic, who is married and had kids, died because of rough sex with Tanya. Whoa, this is so not my area of expertise, but I'm assuming if you're going to have rough sex, then you need to have a safe word and plenty of Pisces hot on hand. Apparently, Tanya has a history of rough sex with clients, but she claims they all asked for it, so Annalise tells her, let's get a client, yours to testify on the witness stand. Tanya refuses at first, but she knows she can't make it in jail, so she gives up the info. The interns start contacting various clients. Some flat out refuse to comply. Others hit on Connor because, hello, he's cute. Another one is like, I had an 8-hour orgasm, as if that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. What are you talking about? It's not 8 hours. Sex should only last like back-to-back-to-back marathon of Modern Family because mama has things to do. Well, this mama doesn't have things to do, so I'll take an 8-hour orgasm. Anybody else? Anyway, back to the recap. Like, eat Popeye's chicken, blow my nose, not read Facebook messages, and sleep. What? I'd rather be having an 8-hour orgasm. I'm totally interrupting this recap all over the place. Anyway, another client mentions a sex position called the octopus, which I and all of America Googled and then mentally added to our arsenals. Oh god. When all is said and done, none of the clients are game, but Alicia, the one who hit on Connor, invites him to a sex party because she says her husband would be into him. Uh-oh. Turns out two other people are also into each other, the Blasian sibling duo. A photo of them almost kissing got leaked to the press by their parents, made. This is all sorts of gross, so let's just skip over this and on to something else. Like Michaela telling the other intern she never had an orgasm. Seriously, when she said this, I poured one out for her vagine and started singing Bone Thugs and Harmony, The Crossroads. This is just sad. But then I perk up because she decides to go to the sex party with Connor and Alicia hits on her. Michaela seems down, and just when they are about to kiss, she goes, but only if you are agree to testify. Amateur, you get the beat, and then to ask for a favor. Alicia declines and then spills some info about Tanya and Dominic, and Annalise confronts Tanya the next day. Tanya admits she loved Dominic, so she arranged it so they would hook up during the sex party, but shortly after, she gave him some drugs to help him get high during sex. He has a heart attack and dies. Sounds pretty convincing to me, and for some reason, Annalise kind of rips her to shreds for trying to get Dominic to leave his wife. Annalise then kicks her out, and I guess the case is done, except it's not. The next day in court, and a badgers Dominic's wife on the witness stand to create reasonable doubt, and Tanya goes free. She's disgusted, and she asks Annalise how she sleeps at night. You were straight up boning a married man on the regular, and your ungrateful ass is going to act like Annalise is wrong. You both did something trifling. Deal with it and move on.org. We catch up with Floral. They're hanging, and it's pretty clear they both really like each other. Heck, Frank likes her so much that it seems like he wants to fess up to what he did to Lila. Honestly, I think if he did, she might still stay by his side. Unfortunately, as the couple gets closer, another one unravels. Asher confesses that he cheated on her with some girl named Tiffany, but the way that D.A. Sinclair was threatening Asher about Tiffany, I'm thinking maybe he accidentally killed her in the past, but he didn't want to admit that to Bonnie. All I know is I'm sad that Bonnie and Asher are done for the moment. The only silver lining, Bonnie and Laurel go out and bond. Laurel admits her feelings for Frank, yay. But back to Asher for a second. D.A. Sinclair has been blackmailing him for a minute, and we see that he broke into Annalise's house and stole her tape recorder so Sinclair could listen to it. But no, Asher! This is horrible. And going to come back to bite him in the ass. Ugh, damn it. Luckily, there is something that cheers me up. Levi and Michaela finally sleep together, and she gets her O. This is very exciting, because we learn that Levi is Rebecca's foster brother, and he claims that Rebecca is Zake's 911, so he's probably not going to try and kill Michaela. This hookup also makes me nervous, because sometimes when somebody hasn't had good sex and then gets it, they get super attached. And it's not a great look for Michaela to cling to Levi like a load of laundry does onto itself after it gets dried without a dryer sheet. So I'm going to pray on this and hope she acts like she's been here before. We'll just have to wait and see. Finally, we end on Annalise visiting Nate, telling him that she misses him. Did she just tell Eve last week that Eve is the best thing that ever happened to her? What the hell's going on? This doesn't seem like a game. I think Annalise really means this. Poor Eve. Thankfully, Nate tells Annalise to go home, and he closes the door. Wes is there. Oh my god. The two of them are now teaming up against Annalise, thanks to Levi planting the seed in Wes's ear that Annalise killed Rebecca. And because he didn't beatbox on my vagine, I'm clear-headed enough to see that Levi is probably shadier than a palm tree. Damn it. We return to the flash forward that opened the episode. Nate finds the interns in the woods and tells them to get in the car. What is happening? Are all the interns in on it? And in on Nate and Wes's plan? Help! Wow. Thank you very much, Miss Phoebe Robinson, for that recap. It was so good, I almost don't even have to make comments about this show. But forget that. You guys aren't that lucky. You're still going to have to listen to me ramble for a little bit. Anyway, let's get on into it. From the start, looks like my theory about Nate being in the house to be part of the shooting incident with Annalise and Sinclair is wrong. Or is it? Dun dun dun. We don't know yet, of course. That's only episode 3. We don't know. So 7 weeks earlier, Annalise is looking like a right mess. I'm down with the eating my stress thing, but I'm getting too old for the drinking my stress. I mean, I found this out Friday. I mean, I had enough drinks, and within 4 hours, I think I already had that next day hangover, and I just had finished drinking like 4 hours ago. Man, I'm feeling terribly old and tired, and I hate headaches. And I hate when there's healthy food in the house, too, where you just want junk and you're like, great, I guess I'm just going to have to eat carrots and ranch and just imagine I'm dipping, you know, and maybe some strawberries and some freaking chocolate. And all we get of Eve this week is an email about Asham's sheets. But that's okay. I guess I can rewind that scene from last week of both Eve and Annalise on those sheets. Amen to DVR. Why doesn't Annalise have a gun for real coming down there? What was that, like a vase? You think she, of all people, with the amount of people she does wrong, like the DA, other lawyers, I mean, she would have a gun in her house. Even if people think she killed Sam, have a freaking gun in your house, lady. Crazy shit has already happened in there. Gosh, get a gun. Of course, gotta call up a man to get rid of the rodent. And of course, it had to be Wes. Not Frank. I guess because Frank is high enough up the assassin's ladder not to be reduced to rodent duty. And as Phoebe pointed out, oh gosh, you know, maybe she wanted to get that D or have that D. And goodness, you call the D, I guess, to go kill some rodents. Whatever. It's stupid. Have a gun, shoot the rodent. That's what I say. Wes is still saying he doesn't miss Rebecca, but is anyone buying that? Come on. I mean, of course he's thinking she ran away, but she gotta be hurt. He's just trying to mask that hurt, right? But I definitely buy that Annalise doesn't miss Sam. None of us miss Sam. Lila definitely doesn't miss Sam because she's dead. Did we forget about her? She's dead too. Now we find out we're in the obligatory sex episode. Oh, it only took 3 episodes. Whew. Michaela causing the blue balls, first off, on date number 3. Manta. Women, don't be teasing me. Don't get up in my bed while I'm on top of you and kissing and making all hot and be like, oh, I'm not that kind of person on the third date. And I'm like, girl, well, then tell me, just at least let me keep my shirt on and don't let me get on the bed. Don't be sending those messages, woman, sending me home. Oh, hot and bothered, jeez. Asher gets a text when he shows up late to Bonnie's. It's a cute scene and all with the elephant. But it's obvious that it's Sinclair that texted him, and we just needed to know what she was thanking him for. I wonder. And then, of course, the cutest couple to me, we go to Oliver and Connor, and it's cute. It's almost D-Day. And Connor goes to explain, and you hear all of this. I know what the D is for. Duh. Thank you, Phoebe. She's mentioned the D. The D is all over this episode. Everybody wants some D, apparently. Except for me. Never want the D. I'm all about the P. Or the V. Laurel still doesn't know Frank. How old is Frank again? Because for some reason, this whole Frank and Laurel thing is getting creepy. Now they're trying to get to know each other. What does it do? Like 40? Whatever. Tantric sex lady on trial for murder. She's hot, at least. And Michaela, best line, she screwed him too hard. I mean, is there a worse way to die? God, screw me into oblivion. Heck yeah. Come on, Tanya. Wait, no. Please don't screw me into oblivion because I might die because you might... Well, we'll get into how she murders people, but geez, that is not the way I want to go exactly. But without the tools that cause the death, that way you can screw me into oblivion. That's okay. So back to the case of the week, plus the half-stall case. Plus the looming Rebecca case. Plus the looming Sam case. I mean, this isn't complicated, right? We got enough cases? Got enough overarching and small themes here? I don't know. Let's see what we're going to have next week. Let's just keep this Tanya case going, because the God knows the chick should go ahead and admit that she's a murderer. This reminds me of the case in the first season of Scandal about the congressman like that was trying to get elected or something, and he was tied to sleeping with a prostitute. I won't spoil it. Maybe you haven't watched all of Scandal yet. I stopped in like episode 5 or something like that, and I heard all the stuff, and then I just went off the deep end and all that stuff. Please don't let that happen. How do I get away with murder? Love you, Shonda, but oh my goodness. Some of the storylines I was hearing and seeing, a little too crazy for me. But I like this twist of the story. It's like she took the idea of sex and people who use sex as an activity and made it something hotter and just put a new twist on it. I was quite amused with the student interviewing the perverts. That's what Annalise called them, not me. Not saying they're perverts. Annalise called them perverts. Especially the guy who told Michaela about the octopus, because I really, really wanted to know what Tanya did with her fist, but I guess we'll never know. I'm pretty sure she might have, well, never mind. And we should never know. And this 8-hour orgasm, you already heard me back talking poor Phoebe's text about, come on, 8 hours? I'm down with that. I mean, come on, would you rather be working for 8 hours or orgasming for 8 hours? Orgasming for eight hours for the win. Tired of working. Unless, you know, your job is to have sex for 8 hours, then maybe you could be tired of that. But sex is not my job, so 8 hours. Give it to me. Anyway, no one wanted to testify. What a surprise. But no, not really a surprise. But you know what is a surprise? Wait, no, that's not a surprise either. Because, oh my goodness, Sibcest, the story getting out. So that's 2 non-surprises in a row. Trust us or we'll find a new lawyer. Yeah, you know what? Screw you, Caleb. I mean, who wants your stupid Sibcest case anyway? Maybe Sinclair, but that's only if she can somehow screw up Annalise even worse in this case. Other than that, screw you, son. What a pain in the ass. You're the killer. You're a jerk. Whatever. Go make out with your sister again. Wait, no, not on screen. Don't want to see it. I'm willing to bet Aiden wasn't the only reason Michaela hasn't had an orgasm. Phoebe Robinson. It's because she'd be way too uptight to let anything go. Not even an orgasm. Maybe not even a fart. Sinclair planted the Sibcest, Annalise and Frank decide. I'm willing to bet at this point that was what Asher did that night that he was thanked for. But how did it happen exactly? Well, I'll dabble on that later. Annalise, what in the world? Putting this police officer's daughter's name on the list of women that go to these tantric sex parties for a job? Like, this is going to make things better with Nate? You're going to? Come on. Dude was about to be on death row. Jeez. This is going to somehow be the consolation prize? Hey, at least you're not dead or in jail. Michaela almost blew their chance at the sex party trying to exchange sex information. Exchange sex for information, but her hunky man sheds light. I don't know what that guy's name, you know, the couple that was there, and she had the dude that was all up looking into Connor, like, oh, well, whatever. But at least they get some information anyway. And of course, we get the usual storyline. We get here, stereotypical murderer fell in love with someone she was only supposed to be casually screwing. And I guess we can't always expect twists and storylines of this nature, because it's not really an uncommon story. The falling in love with someone you cannot have and lashing out in jealousy. But nitroglycerin and Viagra? Damn. Evil. There had to be a better way to have Cynthia find out who her husband really was. Jeez. I didn't mean to kill him. Well, dang, girl. Annalise says to Tanya, you give those of us that really like sex a bad name. Great line, because Viagra and nitroglycerin. How many times can I say that? Damn, girl. Damn. I mean, it's hard enough to get. I mean, it's definitely hard enough, but. Anyway. So, it was Asher that made that loud noise in Annalise's house and stole the recorder to give to Sinclair. But come on. Tell us about Trotter Lake and hurry up about it. Gosh. What is Trotter Lake? As awful as Annalise winning by accusing Dominic's wife of the murder is, she really did do what she was paid for. Gotta do your job, especially as a lawyer. And Tanya should definitely feel sick. I mean, and asking Annalise how she can live with herself. Well, Tanya, you killed him. Did she think Annalise was going to find a way to make the charges disappear and everyone gets away unscathed? Tanya had a chance to come forward and tell the truth, so how can you live with yourself, Tanya? And by the way, Eve can attest to how nice those sheets that Annalise sleeps on alone are. So, this blonde on Asher's phone that Bonnie sees? Is Asher's story that he tells her about this blonde true? I'm thinking the story is true, but it was a long time ago and the girl may be dead, and she is obviously connected to Trotter Lake, or else Sinclair would not have sent that picture. Frickin' Trotter Lake, hurry up, tell us. Maybe one of my favorite parts of the episode, Michaela gets slapped in the face with a rat dildo. Come on, that's comedy. After this little dildo slapping, why doesn't Wes say anything about the picture of Eggs 911 on Rebecca's phone? Oh, that's because he stalks him. And then they talk. Except that Levi is not Eggs. Nope, we were all wrong. Or I was wrong. Eggs was actually Rebecca. She was trying to reach out to Levi on someone else's phone and of course had to identify herself. Levi is her foster brother. And as much as you guys say that he is super hunky, I prefer his foster sister. I'd rather be looking at her face. A lot. Levi planting the seed that Annalise may have killed Rebecca, and maybe that leads to her getting shot weeks later. That seems like an obvious thread, so I won't debate on that one too much. Wes wants to know the truth, and they make a deal, but it doesn't look like Levi obeys that. But we'll talk about that later as well. And great Bonnie and Laurel, drunken sister bonding scene, useless, moving on. I don't agree with you, Phoebe. Really didn't care about this bonding scene. Ugh. So Miss Guthrie, the rude lady, who just was all like, yeah, Caleb gave us the night off that night when the aunt was murdered. Well, they go back to her, and Miss Guthrie threw the half-stall kids right under the bus again. She said she thought the Sibsess should come to light, especially after the torture murder. Of course, that means we should all worry about Miss Guthrie's true motives and wonder if she's more involved than just having seen the Sibsess. Now, I was all sorts of worried that this dress montage was going to result in Annalise going to a tantric sex party that I could not envision or possibly want to envision. And I was detoured by the doubly sweet and then sexy scene of Oliver and Connor, with Oliver admitting that he went to a party and wasn't tempted, and Connor going to the party and saying he was not tempted, and Oliver saying, psh, I would have had sex at a sex party, and then they get all nice and hot and heated. But then I was proud of Michaela making Levi go south, go downtown, until I realized he was supposed to be staying away from her, jerk. And then I went to be annoyed that Annalise ended up at Nate's. I'm willing to think maybe she debated going to that party and decided that was much. It was just too much and hoped she could get a piece of what she used to get. Or maybe Nate called her, or she called him, and we just did not get to see that scene because, well, we'll get to that. Now, Asher meets with his dad, and we get the name of the blonde. Was Tiffany. So maybe this was something the senior millstone had to help cover up. Trotter Lake, come on. I feel like we're getting closer by episode 5. If we do not have the full details on Trotter Lake, you're going to listen to me scream Trotter Lake a lot. Back to Nate and Annalise. So she did try to force a job for Nate. I started to get really disgusted that Nate would even tell Anna Elise he needed time to forgive her after she ruined his life and could have ended worse if Eve and Sinclair hadn't been there to help free him. But then it's revealed that Wes was there the entire time without Annalise's knowledge, so Wes is suspicious of Annalise and apparently has enlisted Nate. Which then makes Nate showing up in that cop car in the flash forward a bigger clue. He seems to have ended up taking the cop job and is there to be the student's getaway car. That makes me think again, he only called Annalise's phone on the drive there. In the clip we saw earlier when the phone started going off and she was like bleeding to death and couldn't get to the phone in time, that he was calling possibly to make it seem like he was unaware of what was going on and was worried about her safety. But I don't know how that connects to his whole picking up the students thing. But anyway, I have taken enough of your time. So guys, 2 days away. And we'll get to another episode, and it looks exciting. So, if you guys want to give me your feedback, you can do that. You can either type up an email, or you can actually send an audio file, WAV file, MP3, whatever. Just bust out your phone and this mic and record a voice note. Attach that little file to an email and send it to howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. Or send me a tweet at getawaywithlaw. Or join the Facebook group, just search out How to Get Away with the Law, and just join in. Get some talking going, guys, and until next week, enjoy the show.